together. I think you received a lot from this weekend. Maybe you didn't have enough opportunity to overflow what you enjoyed. So please feel free to come to the mics.
Hey, you brothers should probably come over here just to clear the area.
Let's try to keep our sharing within 2 minutes. But do come forward. Oh, and I know there's a few college students among us, so we really like to hear from you, especially your experiences and your testimonies. Any of the points that you've covered, Brian, this past week, right? Be very helpful.
Amen.
All right, I think I'll just start with last night's message about grasping the opportunities. So I think a lot of us have this wrong vision about what an overcomer is, about how we wrongly believe that it's some sort of super Christian and this spiritual giant. But in actuality, it's just a normal Christian who's living a normal Christian life. So I think it's just important that we grasp every single opportunity and every single moment in our daily lives as best as we can to become an overcomer. And it's just to live normally instead of just living, having this illusion that we have to live so spiritually every day.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. You know, we have to maximize opportunities to love the Lord, because these college years are very crucial, and then there will be issues that we're striving to get away from. But then, whatever things happen, we have to touch the Lord. And like this is gonna start now. We're not gonna wait. And the college opting, it's a major thing that's gonna help endorse the building of the church. We can't fight it alone. We have to depend on God too. Because let's say you applied to a fantastic college like MIT, you didn't get accepted. Don't worry about it. He'll give you second opportunities by giving you backups. Because you never know, they can be good too. But you have to trust the Lord. Do what the Lord says, because these philosophies are Satan's system. They're part of Satan's system that can literally damage our reputation, our relationship with God. We can't let this happen. This is exactly why the antidote to all forms of Satan stuff is to touch the Lord. The Word is the most powerful. That's exactly why we need to enjoy the Lord every day. We need to maximize our opportunities to love the Lord.
So at this conference, I was just reminded about how precious we are to the Lord and how much love He has for us. So I had a newfound appreciation for Song 1. We have a Father whose heart is full of love towards us. His heart is so great and His love is so unlimited. Even when we sin, we could always come back to Him. This is our Father's great love towards us. And so I had this analogy, and it sounds good in my head, but I don't know if it sounds like good on the mic. So basically, let's just say, like, I have a boyfriend, right? And so, he is, like, but then, like, I cheat or something like that. Okay, that's not going to happen, but, okay, let's just say I cheat. But then, like, you know, like, I do this, like, multiple times, but then I always go back to him because I end up realizing, like, he is the one for me, right? And it just astounds me how much, like, even when we sin, like, multiple times every day, we could always come back to Him. Like, He was always there for us, and that makes His love that much more appreciable. And I'm not saying, like, we should take advantage of His love or anything like that. I'm saying that we should become, like, crazy lovers of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Okay. So this morning, I woke up really, really early, and I don't know, I was like not feeling so comfortable. I was just like, what am I doing here? And then there was a little voice that was like, Anna, you should pray. You know, you should pray. And I was like, okay, yeah, I started praying, and I still didn't feel so good. And I was like, okay, Anna, you should open up your Bible. And so I opened up my Bible, and I was reading Ezekiel chapter 46, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't really understand most of it, but there was one verse that really touched me, and it was verse 10, and it says, "When the prince shall come in among them, when they enter, and when they go, they shall go out together." And, you know, I may not understand exactly the context of this, what this verse is, or what, like, all of, like, I don't know the technical details of it, but I was just so touched by the word together.
Yeah.
Because when I'm going to college, I'm not going to college by myself. I'm going to college with the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, whether I like it or not, you know, he's just always going to be tagging along with me. And, you know, I'm not making a decision for one person anymore. I'm making a decision for me and the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just so, so touching that, like, I was just reading this amidst all this stuff about, like, all the offerings that I was kind of getting confused on. There was this verse that was just so, so filling and so, just so touching to me. And it just so shows how, like, every single thing in the Bible, for every situation that you have, there's always a verse there that'll fit your need perfectly.
I was really touched by the point that our college decision is more important to the Lord than it is to us. And many times, like, I get the feeling, I'm like, what college is best for me? Or what college will be best for my major? But I was really touched that we can just pray, Lord, what college are we going to? What college is best for us?
Hi, Saints. So one point that really touched me this weekend was that your decision to choose your college has an impact on hastening his coming. So what if your decision to go to a certain college hastens his coming by 10 or 20 years or even 50? If we all use our decision wisely and pray to the Lord and just follow his will, he could even come tomorrow. So Lord Jesus, we just want to give our decision to you.
Amen. Amen. Something that I've been struggling with a lot is versus deciding where I want to go, because I never had any drive to go to any specific college. It was just college that were suggested to me. I would apply there, and I was always kind of annoyed at myself for this. And the Lord, I was like, Lord, just tell me where I should go. Like, if I don't even know where I want to go, how do I know where you want me to go? But the Lord isn't just going to tell you where you want to go. Instead, you should just be having a personal relationship with the Lord, growing closer to him day by day, and eventually, or hopefully, the Lord will make his intentions known to you.
To follow that, kind of, one of the things I got from this weekend is that I feel like a lot of times when we ask the Lord what his will is for us, we expect, like, specifics. You're going to go to MIT or you're going to go to Harvard, and that's not what always happens. And what we need to realize is if God wants it to happen, he will make it happen.
Amen.
It will happen because he wants it for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
This weekend I've been really enjoying Matthew 6:33.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This verse is just so precious. It's actually part of a section where the Lord says, it's like, don't be anxious about what we're going to wear, or where we're going to live, or like how we're going to live. Yeah. But just... because the Lord will take care of us. His heart is good toward us. And so I just really enjoy, really thankful to the Lord for his sovereignty, that he has our best interests at heart. Yeah. And even though we might not know where we're going, but he knows, and he will get us there. So we just need to give ourselves to him, to turn to him in everything.
Amen.
I was really touched by the verse in John 7:17. It says, if anyone resolves to do his will, he will know concerning the teaching. I was really touched that, at least for me, like a lot of the saints shared, the Lord's will hasn't been very clear exactly where I should go or what I should do. But from reading this verse, I'm realizing that we need to first come to the Lord and just tell him, Lord, I will follow your will. To set our heart, to consecrate ourselves, even if we don't know exactly what the Lord has planned for us for the future, we still need to have this kind of heart to him. And I was also touched that when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord in this way, he's refreshed by this consecration. In Psalms 110:3, it talked about how your young men will be like to you like the dew from the womb of the dawn. And each morning, we can consecrate ourselves, renew our consecration to the Lord. Because not only does this refresh us, but also refreshes the Lord. And I just pray that through this process and through my college years, I would just have this daily morning contact with the Lord so that both of us could be refreshed.
Amen. So over this weekend, I really enjoyed the point about God's sovereignty and God's will. And I think this, looking back, I think this applied to me a lot when I was applying to college. And during that process for me, I feel like I faced a lot of disappointment. I didn't get into some of my top schools. And eventually, the school I did end up committing to would be Boston University. And at the time, I was like, Lord, why am I going here? Why couldn't I go to, why didn't I get accepted into schools like Princeton or Cornell? But then, looking back, I think my decision to go to BU, I think, was one of the better decisions I've made in my life. Because, like, in that area, I think there's so many saints in there, and they've really helped me to, like, get to know Christ, get to love him more each and every single day. And the church life in the Boston area, I'm sure, is bigger than the church life in like all the other areas. So I think it was a great decision for me to make. And for all the other seniors out there who are like in the middle of your college application process, like it's going to be like it's tough. You're going to face a lot of disappointment probably. But I think the most important thing for you guys to know is just like trust the process, trust the Lord, and in the end, just realize that you're going to be fine. Everything will work out. Oh.
Amen. I was also really touched by this point of God's sovereignty. And you know, the Lord knows everything, and he has everything planned out already for all of us. And sometimes he places us in certain situations where we're just like, why, Lord? Why did you place us here? Why did you do this to me? Why did you do that to me, right? But sometimes, you know, the Lord uses those situations to cause you to just turn to him, because we don't always turn to him when things are happy and things are going smoothly. He causes us to turn to him when we are feeling sad and we are feeling like anxious and nervous. And so even during this college process, you know, I've just been turning to the Lord, just like, oh Lord Jesus, you know, I just need to give you all of my college decisions because I can't do it by myself.
I'm a freshman in college like Brian, and I went through a similar process. I got accepted into Penn State really early. I just did regular decision, but they accepted me maybe like early December. And I remember like just praying, oh, I'm basically in college now. Like I can go have a place I can go to, but I don't want to go to Penn State. It was kind of my safety. And then I was praying throughout last year about this, and then I didn't get accepted into some schools like USC, which I actually wanted to go to, like more than Penn State. And looking back now, going to Penn State actually humbled me. I was kind of, my mindset was kind of like trapped it was heavily influenced by the area I lived in, which wasn't exactly the best, I'd say. So everything will work out in the end. Mm. We just have to trust in the Lord, and even if it seems bad, it's actually for the best overall.
Amen. Amen. During Aaron's sharing yesterday on outline three, when he went through the words of warning, I was just sitting there like, oh, strike, like, oh, did that, like, oh, strike on that one, just like check in a negative way. And, you know, I just, so if you have questions about those things, feel free to come fellowship with me. But I was just touched, you know, throughout this whole weekend that it's not, you know, even with this morning's message on all the isms and the difficulties that we'll face in class and on campus, it's not a matter of just saying no to those things or just rejecting those things. But we have to fill our hands with something else. It's not enough just to reject it, but we need to eat. You know, so I appreciated all the words of encouragement, right? He gave us 13 words about developing an intimate personal relationship with the Lord, determining to know the Bible, consecrating our time with the Lord, exercising. So not only do we say no, but we have to flee, right? We have to run. So, you know, especially throughout this whole weekend, just again and again, I feel like the brothers have just been emphasizing, we need to know the Word. And as the title of this time, right, we need to know God. And as we have this positive pursuit of the Lord, then these negative things, I feel like, just fall away. Then, you know, when you're invited to certain things, it's just like, no. And it's not a fight. It's just because you're eating something better. You know, why would you have taste for dung when you have, like, the King's food? So if we just have a positive pursuit of the Lord, all of these isms, all of these friendships are so easy to reject and to positively participate in God's economy.
Outline one, the title is Knowing God by Knowing His Heart, Love, Purpose, and Economy. This really struck me because I feel like right now, all the seniors and juniors looking to college, we feel like, wow, this is like what we're in right now. But we have to have the long-term goal. Amen. Of knowing that God didn't just predestinate us just to go to college, right? He chose us and he set us apart for the church. Amen. The reason why we're going to college or why we're choosing to go to college is that that's a place where we can grow and be developed in a way that we can be a part of the church. Amen. And that we can fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
After the message about grasping the opportunity, I was kind of in my head, I was thinking about like how many opportunities I missed. I start school at like 8:51, so I have like a lot of time beforehand. I wake up at like 8:15, but I should have been waking up earlier to grasp the opportunity to love the Lord. And even on the car ride, I'll also be sleeping when I should be grasping the opportunity. And even like during the extra classes that I don't really need, I'll be sleeping. And like on the bus ride to like home, I'll be sleeping. So basically anywhere in New York, if you find me, I'll be sleeping. But I should be grasping the opportunity to love the Lord. Amen. There's a reason why there's so much opportunities for me. It's for me to love the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed how feasting on the Word becomes entering into God's mind. And then once we've entered into God's mind, we can see His heart. But we have to fully open our spirit and give ourself to Him, because then we will see His plan. Yeah. And once we have seen His plan, we can follow it. And saints, the plan the Lord has for us is unfathomable. It is more sweet and incredible than we could ever imagine. And then once we've seen His plan and we begin to follow Him, we will begin to grow into our place in the body. And the Lord wants us to be happy, but He knows what will make us happy. And so we need to follow Him. And once we've fully grown into our place in the body, we will be able to build up with the rest of the saints to bring the Lord back.
Hi, everyone. I just really enjoy about point five. It says about we can see about moral. I just really enjoy how interesting this moral relativism and individualism. However, we know that these two are not going to hurt anyone. But the problem is we are cutting the relationship between God, and we shouldn't do that because we are the member of body of Christ.
Amen. So I kind of feel lost pretty often because I feel like I have to completely understand the Bible and like His will. But and it's kind of just feels like playing Sudoku. You guys have ever played? It's like putting one like vague idea or something with something else, kind of going along with it if it looks like it kind of fits. But now I know that if we resolve to do God's will and we need, we're really desperate for Him, His will will be revealed.
I enjoyed the point where one of the brothers said, "Give yourself to be a part of God's purpose."
Right.
It's like our purpose is to fulfill His purpose, which is to build up His church so that He can come back. And for us to do that, we have to know Him and be of Him.
Right.
And the building up of His church means we have to add more members into His church so that it can be built faster, which allows for Him to come back faster.
Amen.
And so we have to ask ourselves, like, are we going to follow His will, or and is our will a part of His?
I really enjoyed this conference because I feel like it solidified when I went through the choosing process. And I just have to say that the Lord's heart is really good toward us. And actually, His heart is that we would love Him more through all these decisions. And I really appreciated this point about grasping the opportunity to love the Lord, because these times fly by, and before you know it, you're a senior in college, and you're having to make another decision. And anyway, I just appreciated that every opportunity is an opportunity to love the Lord.
Amen.
And that's as simple as, "Lord, this is really scary." But you started that sentence with "Lord," so that shows that you're open to the Lord. And that, and then from there, you just keep on your relationship with the Lord. I just really have to echo this point about immersing yourself in the church life. I'm not from this area. I'm from the South. And if you've ever been to the South, it's a lot different than this area. And when I came to school up here, I really had a culture shock, and I really freaked out. but it's good to get out of your culture. Hallelujah. But I just felt like I had these points in my relationship with the Lord where I didn't even know what I believed in anymore. Like you get so overcome with all these isms, and you're, I mean, even now I feel like in high school you all have it a lot worse than anyway, just like a couple years ago then. But I just told the Lord, I was like, "Lord, I don't know anything that I'm hearing, but I know the Bible is real, and I know the saints are real. So I'm going to surround myself with those two things." So I made it my goal to be in as many meetings as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And I didn't care how it affected my grades. I didn't care about anything but being with the saints, because I knew that in an environment that I wasn't comfortable in, I knew I could just rely on the saints and be in a meeting where it was normal to call on the name of the Lord. It's normal to love the Lord. And then the third point just wanted to mention is never underestimate your function. Actually, the highlight of my undergraduate career was spending time with a high school student. And her and I would spend time once a week, every week, for 3 years. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And so never underestimate your function, because that saved me to the uttermost. So if you're in high school now, just find a college student and save them. And when you get in college, find a high school student and save them. And then also, even when you get to college, there is so many opportunities to function. And actually, a really awesome highlight of this of my year this year has been having a home meeting in a dorm. Do you know that's possible? Do you know that your dorm room is your home? Therefore, you could have a home meeting. It's so awesome. On Thursday nights, we've been going to this sister's dorm room at Tufts, and we bring her suite mates food, so they let us in, and then we sing some hymns, and it's wonderful. And they asked us to come back. And she was like, "Oh man, I don't even like these sweet mates." And now they want you guys to come back. We're like, "Yeah." It just really is such a sanctifying thing. And even there was one point where
her suitemates wanted to have a party in her dorm, and her other suitemates said, well, not unless they bring food and they sing Christian songs, then you can have the party. So they just, their heart was just so warmed up, even just by coming into where they were. So anyway, just always be open. It's so amazing. And every opportunity is an opportunity to love the Lord.
First of all, I'm sorry that I sound like this. I'm like kind of sick. Second of all, I actually have two like stories. Is it okay if I share two? First one, I really appreciated, or I was reminded that God is sovereign, and what we have to do is believe into His sovereignty, and He has a plan for us, and somehow He will make it happen. Because I know that I'm a super indecisive person. Like, I wrote two Common App essays, and seniors and college students, you know, like, they take a long time. And I wrote two of them. So now every time I submit an application, I'm like, Lord, come on, which one? Lord, I'm going to press submit. Is it this one? But I just really appreciated that He has a way. Like, even if I submitted the wrong essay or whatever, He has a way. And if He wants me to get into that college where I will be useful, He will make it happen. And second, I was reminded last night that these are the days of the Lord's coming. And just as they were back in the Noah's day. And I actually had this story from, I was in sixth grade and I had just recently moved, and I was on the bus with my friend, my first friend of that place, and she was talking to me about this book she had read called Demons and Angels by Dan Brown, I think it was. But she was just going on and on about how it was so good because it was like disproving religion, disproving God. And she knew that I was Christian. I mean, it's kind of obvious. Like, I don't like curse or anything at that. Anyway. So she was just going on and on. And then she started talking about persecuting Christians, and I got kind of scared. I was like, well, I'm a Christian. Are you going to persecute me? And she looked at me and she was kind of like, yeah. I said, sorry? Can you say that again? She was like, yeah, I would. I don't know if it was like from the book she read, she was all like hyped up or something, but that just really, it like broke something in me. I was so, I wouldn't say sad, but I was like so like grieved. And we just read John 17:4. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So that just reminds us that we have to stand firm, even though people will make fun of us, will persecute us. We have the Lord on our side.
Okay, so this year I went to the homecoming dance, and honestly, it sucked. I was like all excited to go and stuff, but as soon as I got on the dance floor, like I noticed how people were moving and like the general atmosphere, and honestly, it was not the place for me. So I basically spent the entire time sitting at a table alone and on my phone, and like, honestly, I was just kind of regretting everything because I could have been doing, I could have been anywhere else doing anything else. Like, I could have been doing homework. I could have been at YP meeting with all the other young people. But no, I was at homecoming dance just wasting my time and having wasted $10. And then 30 minutes before the dance ended, one of my friends came up to me and she was like, Gloria, you should dance because, like, you're already here and stuff. And then I was like, no, it's... you know, it doesn't feel right. And then she's told me, you're such a Christian. And like, for me, like, obviously she meant that as like sort of an insult, like you're such a party pooper or anything. But for me, like, it felt like a compliment, you know, because it set me apart from like everyone else. And it was just good to know that I stand out.
Am I allowed to ask where are the brothers from New York City?
They're getting up next.
We're all literally in.
All right. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me a feeling, Lord. Oh, me and my parents get this feeling, Lord. Lord, I want to follow what you want, Lord. Amen.
One thing I took away from this conference is that you need to have God's economy in your mind, because in the long run, it's going to fulfill his plan and help us, like, enjoy him and then fulfill his purpose. Like as of right now, we're doing our applications and all those stuff. It's part of his plan for us to help him. And then later on, even after college, we're still trying to fulfill his plan. And yeah.
Lord Jesus, I just enjoyed this point about knowing the age and grasping the opportunity to love the Lord. And for a really long time, I've had countless opportunities to grasp the Lord, and I took almost none of them. Like, I even had 3 alarms on my phone to read the Bible at one point, and I ignored all of them. But this conference really showed me, like, the urgency of the Lord's, like, coming, and that we need to, it's our time that we need to build his economy in order, and we are the important, we're like the generation that's going to bring the Lord back, so we really have to work our hardest to take all the opportunities to love the Lord.
Okay, so I really enjoyed that. Like, we just need to know, like, we need to know God by knowing his, like, will.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just, like, by spending time with him. So it's, like, on Halloween, yeah, like, as many of you know, there was a terror attack in New York. And it's, like, that morning, it's just, like, something didn't feel right. And it's, like, when I was, like, I have 10th period free, so I can leave early. And it was, like, right around when it happened. And I was, like, about to leave because I didn't finish my apps yet. And it was, like, the deadline was tomorrow. I was just going to, like, get home, get my apps on. But, like, there was something touching me. Don't go home. Like, stay in school. Like, maybe you could work it out in school. And it's, like, that, it just happened. Like, the terror attack just happened. And it was just, like, wow.
Yeah.
I'd say your school is right near where it happened.
Yeah.
For me, even when I guess, like, started high school, my parents and I were just, like, figuring out the future for me, I guess. Like, go to a college with BS, MS degree for 5 years, go to the full-time training, come back, get a stable job, and go serve the Lord, right? And as I was, like, choosing what colleges I should apply to, I wasn't really... I guess, asking the Lord where I was applying to. I was just like, okay, 5-year programs, there we go, and then all that stuff, right? But then I realized that what the Lord really wants is for us to just talk to him, right? Just love him, enjoy him. And that's when he will reveal his will to us, right? Where we will go, where he's going to have his plan fulfilled by each one of us, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just really touching that.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have a few more testimonies from the college students that we didn't get a chance to show you all. It's true.
Hi, my name is Annie, and I'm a sophomore at Tufts University studying biomedical engineering. The summer before my freshman year of college, I decided that my 4 years of college, I wanted them, I consecrated it to be for the Lord, and I wanted Him to be able to use these 4 years to do whatever He needed to do through me and to really gain some people off my campus. My first night of college, I was ready to not do any partying. I was really gung-ho, gonna be like the normal Christian or something, whatever I thought that meant. My first night, some people on my floor invited me and my roommate to go just to meet some new people at this house. It's called the Lax House. And I quickly realized that this was going to be a huge party that all the freshmen were going to. And the Lord reminded me of my consecration. And I just, like, my first year, I just realized that parties, like, all these, the loose living in the dormitories, they become so normalized as part of this age. And then, as so many times when you're alone, surrounded by this, you can get really numb to what's going on around you, how people act in the dorms, what's normal, what's not normal. So my first year is already is a quite a bit of a struggle to see, like, what do I believe in? Who am I? Like, what the Lord is trying to do with my years here. And then over this past summer, I realized that in order for me to be a strong Christian on campus, I needed the Lord to really make home in my heart. He needed to have a firm ground in me in order for me to be strong and know what I believe in and not be, in a sense, like, tricked by the disguises that the world kind of throws at you or the distractions in your daily life to distract you from the Lord, but rather turn these distractions as a way to just turn back to the Lord, to just look away from any situation you're in to the Lord. And so to do that, this year I really had to practice spending personal time with the Lord in order to just be fully constituted, that even small invitations to an event, that I would have the feeling within not to go because it would deter me from what the Lord is trying to do within me. My name is Savannah, and I'm a sophomore studying English and secondary education at Lesley University. My school is really small. It's under 2,000 undergrad. And at my campus, I am the only one related to Christians on campus or the church life. And so I don't have a companion on campus, and this was really hard, and still is really hard, but the Lord has really blessed me with so many saints in the community, and I just got connected to the homes and found ones whose homes I could even flee to when I was invited to different things, different events, different organization things, and it's just really been a salvation, even to just go and nap on someone's couch or open their fridge and eat some of their food, or even just go over and study if I need a change of pace. But being connected in this way is just a place that saves you from all the looseness that's happening on campus. And it even became for me a place that was so much my home that I could share it with my friends that I have on campus, and it could become a place for them to also come and enjoy the Lord.
Hi, my name is Lily, and I am a junior at Boston University studying English and German. When I was a senior in high school, I was in a conference, and the brothers were speaking about Boston and how the Lord had been moving there for some time, and they issued a call for high school students to consider studying in Boston for the campus work to go on. And for some reason, sitting there, I had this response in my being, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to be where the Lord was moving. But I also had a preference of another school. which I had dreamed about since I was in the third grade. So there was two conflicting views of college within my being. And it wasn't until one evening when I was reading through 1 Samuel that the Lord really touched me regarding my attitude towards my future. I wanted to give the Lord the way, but I still really wanted to have things go my way. But I was struck by the way Hannah prayed for her son. She wanted a son, and she asked the Lord for a son. But she said, "Lord, I will give him back to you." And I realized my education was not for myself. My future did not belong to me. Actually, wherever I would go to school, I would not just be a student there, but I would be a member of the church in that city. And I would be a gospel seed on my campus and a co-laborer with the saints. And so it mattered. I realized it really mattered to the Lord where I would go to school. So I had to change the way I was praying, not for the best school or for the best education, but Lord, place me where you need me to be. Place me where you have me, where I can be perfected and trained as a useful vessel to you.
Coming to an end. I just have just a few small points that that didn't get a chance to mention. That's okay. And one thing is, sorry for being repetitious, but we hope
that this is not the only time that you think about this topic and want to fellowship, especially with the older saints. I think this is an ongoing process. So just remember to continue, right? Go back to your locality, seek out the fellowship. And even if, you know, the ones in your locality, for example, you might want to consider to do a certain major, or you're thinking about this job. If no one in your locality is in that, I'm sure through the fellowship, we could recommend somebody who is doing what you want to do. And in that way, you could really consider and see whether or not this is something you want to do. Just personal testimony, I thought I wanted to do computer science programming. And then one summer, and actually internships help along the way, I had this internship. And I realized, actually, what they do is they just sit behind a cubicle all day, 9 to 5, and they're just debugging, like figuring out what's wrong with the code. And it dawned on me, actually, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I think it's just good to figure out, you know, you might have a concept of what that job would look like, but until you fellowship or you have like an internship, you have some work experience, you really don't know. So just continue to mine actually the riches that are in the body. Amen. So many experiences.
The second point is, I hope you would all visit the schools, and not just to tour the campus, but visit the church life.
Yes.
Visit the saints, the brothers and sisters. Find out where their nearby homes are, if there are any. Find out if there are ones who are burdened for the campus. Try to find out if there are brothers and sisters there already. Or, you know, next year as a freshman, try to find out, are there other freshmen coming into that school?
Right.
I think this will greatly help your decision, right? Because when you're there, you could kind of foresee or kind of picture yourself. Will I be able to survive? Is this something where I could feel comfortable with? I really appreciate our sister's testimony. The homes. Unfortunately, I think many of you have a certain concept of what a home looks like. Because the Rutgers students where I am at, they have concepts too. They think, oh, Shepherd's inviting me over. And this is a true story. One of the brothers said this. Not to me, but to another brother. Oh, I don't want to go because he's just going to lock the front door and he's going to start a meeting. I'm just inviting you over for a dinner. I just want to know how you're doing, right? Just to have a meal together. I'm not going to lock you up, you know. We all have these kind of concepts. And so I encourage you to go visit, spend time with the saints in that locality, and so that you could really figure out. Another thing to ask is, you know, you should be asked yourself, are you independent, or do you need somebody to kind of like watch over you, to remind you? Because, you know, in some places there's not a lot of brothers and sisters, or maybe the church life, it's a little further away from the campus. And so all these factors, right, they all come into play. One thing I want to mention again is don't compare yourself. And I think this is something that's been mentioned this entire weekend. We are all unique. The Lord has given us a certain measure. And so we're different, right? We're different than one another. And so I just think when we compare ourselves, or we want to be somebody that we're not, that's where all the problems come up, both in the human life and also in the Christian life, right? And so just be who you are. And I think also this will come in play when, I think this is a recent phenomenon. It didn't happen when I, of course, was in this process. You know, now everybody, in this day and age, when the decision comes up, you like to, boom, put it on Facebook or whatever. Like, class of 2000, you know, what is it, 22, 23, right? Anyway, I'm not saying I'm for that or against that, but, you know, when you're looking at all the different, right, acceptances, all your peers, your classmates, you might think, oh, you know, how come everybody is getting into where they wanted to go, but, you know, but I'm not. So in that moment, right, you need to realize that, again, everything that we've spoken, right, God is sovereign, He has a will, and we just need to trust in the Lord. One verse, and I hope you will take this with you when this time comes. This is in John 21, when, you know, Lord was shepherding Peter. Peter, in verse 20, says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also reclined on his breast at the supper. He's talking about John. And said, Lord, who is the one betraying you? Peter, therefore seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Right? And so, in that story, Peter was comparing himself to John. Actually, he was talking about the end of their life. John was to remain. That was his course. He's one of the oldest apostles, and he remained. But we know that actually Peter, he died for the Lord, right? And so he was taken. We all have a different course. Right? The point is, don't compare yourself to somebody else. Maybe their course is they get accepted to their top choice. Okay, that's what the Lord had ordained for that person. You might get rejected. You're all seven, right? You're left with one. That's your course, right? We all have a different course. The point is, we need to follow the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord told Peter, what is that to you? Right? What is that to you? Don't compare yourself. You follow me.
Amen.
Okay, and then finally, this summer, I want to advertise again. Guess what? You're going to be, I'm speaking about the seniors, maybe not the juniors. Your
right.
Might not be so great. And some of these things are not available to you. But for the seniors, right, you're about to go into your freshman year. This summer, you're going to be very, very, very free. Right? Because I don't think any internships are going to hire somebody who's not even in college yet. Right? And some people say they want to get ahead and take some college courses. Okay, but I recommend, right, that you would use this summer wisely. And I hope and I encourage you all to, of course, think about the summer training, but then also the college training. Right? I think this has a very big impact on the freshmen, the incoming freshmen,
right?
Where you can build such a solid foundation into your college years. So it'll be a week-long event. It'll be most likely 2 weeks after the summer training, which is over the July 4th weekend, and it will be here, right? So it will be here for a whole week. And then finally, come back to serve at the Summer School of Truth.
Amen.
I think you've already heard many of the testimonies. When you're on the other side, everything is different. And so you'll be first-year TAs, and we just encourage you to co-labor with us. You will really, really, really experience something of the Lord. It's still going to be 10 days. Amen.
Teacher's training.
Oh, teacher's training. That will be the first Saturday of June, right? Yeah, so come to that. Mark that off in the calendar.
What is the date?
Summer School of Truth will probably be, what, August 4th to the day. As soon as we confirm, we'll let you know. But tentatively, it probably be the you can pencil it in. It's probably going to be August 2nd to the 12th. And then the college training will most likely be the third week of July. So between the it depends on their professional training.
I think it's probably 18.
So just one other thing. I know you all will be applying to schools all across the country. But actually something that we do, especially up in the greater Boston area, is we have an internship before school starts for the college students. So it's returning students, incoming freshmen. But I would encourage you, this is a way to jumpstart your college experience. The Boston area is unique in that, you know, a lot of you may be familiar with it, but we have many schools.
Right.
And even the sisters that were speaking, Annie and Havana, our group is interesting because our core group has been between three different universities, but that's where the students became connected with one another. But the reason I bring this up, the college internship is awesome because it's a way to get connected with students that are pursuing the Lord. It's a way to get connected with saints that have their homes open and that are burdened for the campus work. And then also, it's just a way to, just learn how a college student, you know, as a Christian lives a little bit. So each campus is different. It depends. So I would encourage you to inquire regarding that, because I know a number of the freshmen that have come in, you know, to our area and that have jumped in have really benefited from this time. And also it's an opportunity to get involved with the work right away and gaining fellow freshmen. So it's a very crucial time of the year. So I would just ask that you would, you know, whatever school you check out, just ask if they have something like that. If they don't, that's fine. But it's also another wonderful opportunity to kind of be open to either just before school starts or even as school starts.
Amen. Okay, so we'll end our retreat here. Can you take off your badge holder?